with Jerry Williams Jr., also known as Swamp Dog. He's been in this business for a heck of a long time, if I may say.
Yeah, since I was 12.
Yeah, tell me about that. How did you get a gig at 12 years old?
Now, I got a record at 12, but I was singing with what they used to call society bands, because I used to learn all of the Big Joe Turner and Wynonna Harris, those people's songs. And I always wanted to be what they considered then a blues belter. But my voice was too high, but I still sung it. People liked it. And believe it or not, for about a year or two, I was cute, you know, and people liked to see me. So this is in Portsmouth, Virginia, and Norfolk, Virginia, but Portsmouth's where I'm from. My mother and my father, they're musicians. Matter of fact, my mother opens all my shows for me. She's 92 years old.
You don't say.
Yeah, and she can kick ass. My mother and father was doing a recording, and which never came out. And I was screaming and hollering because they had told me I was going to be able to record too. But I found out it was something you just tell a child to get him out the way. But I was so insistent. And then when their little mess was over that they did, they had just enough time for me to do. He said, okay, go do it. I sat out and in one take, I did HTD Blues, which is hard, sick, troublesome, down out blues.
Oh, well, my mother, she told me don't I marry that gal. My father said, look at that face. Oh, well, my sister said, her brother, hush, she ain't no good. She's nothing but a family disgrace. If I had a listener to that talk, I've been doing myself some good. I should have let you go home and back up to Georgia. Yes, 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 I should.
That's basically my start, other than I've always wanted to sing. I always sang. I sang in church, in the Baptist church. Then when I turned Catholic, I played the organ, which, by the way, I can't play that well. But Sister Clara made me play. Oh, you can play it. You can play it. God will give you wisdom. Oh, yeah, right. So I need to go to school.
Baby.
You were writing songs, and then you started getting into producing. How the heck did you get into producing?
Well, I always have liked, I love other people's records better than mine. Every day I must hear a record, I said, now, boy, if I'd have cut something like that, you know. And I had so much writing energy and musical energy that I could not use it all on myself. And I was never, ever selfish. Hey, give me my thing back. I was never, ever selfish. So everybody that could sing or play, I wanted to take into the studio. We had a little studio down there. I think it was about $8 an hour. We're still messing around 12 years old here. 12,
oh, okay.
14, 15. Then I got my own television show on unheard of UHF television at that time, for a guy had a car lot called Starlight Automobiles. And this is coming to a point. And he sold Pontiacs, and he used this TV show to sell his Pontiacs. And he didn't care. He wasn't that discerning about who or what shows was on there, long as you just held people so he could sell his Pontiacs. So I went over there and I got a show, which was called Rock and Roll Time. I ended up with, started with a half hour, ended up with 45 minutes. And you didn't get paid unless you went out and got your own sponsor. So at the time, I'm a delivery boy also for Washington Pharmacy. So I went out and I got, so I'm all over the place on my bike, right? So I got Community Bakeries and Atlas Tires to sponsor my show. So therefore, I was 13, almost 14. I was making $25 a week from the pharmacy and $25 from each sponsor that was sponsoring my show. So I used that money, like a dummy, to go and cut other people.
So would it be fair to say that this is kind of when you learn how to hustle? Because you always, you had your hands in everything, and you got your own advertising, essentially. So you were able to make a deal on the side.
I was getting paid by the sponsor.
Right, because you were out hustling.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. I want to ask you now specifically about a couple of productions, songs that you cut on somebody else.
Okay.
Sea in the Shells. One of the most beautiful songs in the world. You Are the Circus.
I am the clown. You Are the Circus, I'm the Clown. The first week out, the record sold 50,000 copies. Right after that, in Chicago, Detroit, and in New York, which is three of the major record-breaking markets, but they told Atlantic, they said, hey, we're not gonna play this record with the word damn in it, because there was a line in there that says, I'm like a picture just framed and hanging on a wall. You don't give a damn about me at all. And King Curtis, him and I, we never got along. So he came in there with his big lips and said, you're gonna have to change that. They had already had the meeting. When they called me in, everybody's in. So I had to go back in the studio and change it to, you don't seem to care about me at all. I wanted to say, you don't give a darn about me at all, trying to stay in that pocket. It's, no. And we never did sell another 50,000. It was a smash. I know it was a smash.
Through with your circus, you be the clown.
All right, let me ask you about another production. This one I really loved.
But you really loved the other one.
I love all of them, man. Okay. I'm an equal opportunity lover here.
Okay.
It's Wolf Moon.
Yeah.
The God Bless tune.
Yeah.
You know, the Easter Bunny, Huckleberry Hound.
Yeah,
everybody
Easter Bunny.
It. Now,
Deputy Dog.
Yeah, Deputy Dog.
God bless the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, the Good Tooth Fairy and Deputy Dog. Yogi Bear and Donald Duck, Huckleberry Hound and Elmer Fudd, Tweety Pie and Mother Goose. And if that's not too many, bless my mommy and my daddy too.
Tyrone Thomas, is he was
Wolf
Moon.
That's his real name, yeah.
Okay, and did you give him the name Wolf Moon?
Yeah.
All right, and you cut a whole album on him.
Yes. The first time I signed him, he took the masters and ran back to Richmond, Virginia. I was living in Philadelphia, and had a Mr. Wiggles put it out, and Mr. Wiggles was a self-appointed gangster, and he... So when I called out there, when they put my records out, I said, I was complaining, and they threatened to come kick my ass. So not being gangster, not having any gangster leanings, I said, well, okay, you lose some, you win some. And even after that, a friend of mine, Brooks O'Dell, who brought him to me in the first place, talked me into cutting Tommy again, because he could really sing. I mean, he pulls me in, lures me in with that great voice. But, and his interpretation of the songs, this was like a spiritual R&B album. But other than that, He is the sleaziest, most low-life piece of shit that you could ever meet. What else can be said about Wolf Moon that hasn't been said about EDR men? You know?
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all felt this way? We could live in peace and in harmony and make the world a better place to stay.
What are you doing now, or what's your next project?
I ain't gonna tell you. No, I got a new album that's supposed to come out the end of March. I'm finishing it up. The album is entitled "The White Man Made Me Do It," and
right on, baby.
But the whole idea of the song is I wasn't allowed to learn to read. So I would slip up on the roof of the hut or house or shack and read by moonlight. Now from there, I'm a Pulitzer Prize writer and I'm making millions on TV. And my hat's off to the white man, because the white man made me do it. All that I am today, I'm speaking of myself. The white man made me do it. Frank Guida down at LeGrand Records, he told me, he says, "Kid, you can't sing. You'll never be shit," you know. He was trying to be a discouraging factor, and I would not go for it. I only went to him because he was the only record company down there in Norfolk, Virginia. But I went off and got a deal with Harold Ember Records. The white man made me do it. He made me do it. I had some successes. The white man made me do it. I used to write songs. Nobody liked them. I'd take them to the white publishers, because there wasn't no black publishers, maybe two. And I'd say, "Here it is." They said, "Eh, blah." So then I'd cut it myself or either cut it on somebody else. They said, "Hey, man, that's a great record." I said, "Hey, you made me do it." You know, you made me do it. I got a publishing company because the record companies didn't think my writing was worthwhile. So I set up my own publishing. And why? The white man made me do it. You know, it just goes on and on.
That's good. I can't wait for this. When are you going to come out with it?
Whatever the last Tuesday of March is, that's when it's supposed to come out.
All right. We've been talking with Swamp Dog, Jerry Williams Jr., amongst other things. Right here at KUTX, we want to thank you for coming by today.
Hey, man, I appreciate you letting me come by.
Swamp Dog, you something else.
I love it. Yeah, I know I'm the other thing.
Thanks a lot. Swamp Dog's new remasters are available on Alive Natural Sound Records. And you can find out more at Swamp Dog's website. That's swampdog.net. I'm Rick McNulty for KUTX.